it's good, it's nice to think about Jesus Christ in the manger, Jesus Christ coming, and thinking about things like the reason for the season, but I don't think we go far enough sometimes with it in really understanding or thinking about why he came. Mike and I were talking back there, and he's talking about the gifts that were brought to Jesus Christ and how they, myrrh, things like that, those referenced the death of Jesus Christ. And that's something that is lost oftentimes with the manger scene and all that, that he came to die. He came to die. And I don't know at what point in his life that was understood. But he was a man. He was God before he became a man. But I want to show you this morning the reason for the season, I guess you could call it that. And Romans chapter 1, like I said, we'll go through several verses. But I got to give you the backstory before we get to the coming of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, you've got a really good description of the course of sin, And before I read this, let's pray, and let's really consider this morning why it is Jesus Christ came. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your words. Lord, I just don't know what I'd do, and many folks here say the same thing, or don't know what we'd do without your words in our lives. They've changed our lives. They could change them more, Lord, if we'd allow it. But I thank you for your words. I thank you for Jesus Christ and salvation in Jesus Christ. But I pray this morning, particularly, Lord, if anybody here is not saved, meaning they've never trusted Jesus Christ, and all of the Christmas story and the manger scene and all of this is kind of a tradition and maybe more of a formality. We forget why it is Jesus Christ actually became a man. And Lord, I pray we would understand that fully this morning. Help us to understand it. And if anyone here is not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. And they'd get saved today and trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I guess kind of an unusual place to take a Christmas text, but I don't think it's necessarily that unusual, just because it describes exactly why Jesus Christ became a man, why we read about him being a baby in a manger, why we read about the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. And so that's the sermon this morning. That's the thought this morning. But first, we get to understand the condition of mankind. And Romans chapter 1 is probably the best description of mankind without God as there is anywhere in the Bible. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, Paul's in the middle of a description, but I want to read a couple of verses. Romans 1:28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful," watch this, "who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." It's a description of man without God and man really not even having any desire to have God in their lives. It's a description of you and me before Jesus Christ. It is a full description of our flesh. This is what these bodies are like. And if they're not tempered, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but if they're not brought under the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit of God, what you just read is a description of the flesh and the flesh acting like the flesh. So man is in this condition. Man is in a sinful condition. And when I say this, what I'm saying this morning, please understand, when God judges you, it isn't going to be a we thing. It isn't us, it isn't ours, it isn't he's our Savior or he's the Savior. It is either Jesus Christ is my Savior personally, or he's not my Savior. And I can't associate myself with a group of people and have that take care of my sins. I can't socialize with a church and expect that to take care of my sins. At some point, I know I'm getting a little bit ahead, but just understand where we're going with this. I've got to personally accept Jesus Christ to pay for my sins. All right, but this is the condition. And if we don't get to the condition and understand the reality of the situation, then there's not going to really even be a reason to trust Jesus Christ. So here's the description, the list of sin. He said this is the condition of mankind. Didn't like to retain God in his knowledge. God gives him up to all these things. And not only did man understand, you understand these things are wrong. Look, all right. A thief understands that stealing is wrong, because if you stole from a thief, he would think you were wrong for stealing from him. Understands that's wrong. Just it's not wrong when the thief steals from you. You understand? So there's a very hypocritical side of us where my sin is not as grievous as everybody else's sin. The reality is, in God's eyes, a thief is a thief, a liar is a liar, an adulterer is an adulterer, and there's no conditional qualifiers to say, well, it's not exactly the way you think it is, and I do this because the reality of the condition is we enjoy sin. That's the reason you commit sin, because it's enjoyable. And then you not only that, but you go to the point of celebrating sin. Think about this. This is the culture of humanity. How many shows, well, Christmas time's a good day, you get some life lesson type shows, things like that. But during the year, throughout the year, how many shows, TV shows, movies, are you going to watch where God is glorified, where Jesus Christ is uplifted, where salvation is the main theme of the movie, and the characters are good and trying to be holy and just and righteous and things like that? And the answer to that is probably, I mean, you can probably just laughingly, you know, that's not what's celebrated these days. What's celebrated is this list you just read: adultery, fornication, theft, murder. I mean, how many crime shows are on TV? And we sit and watch for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours about murder, about relationships, illicit relationships, adultery, fornication, about lies, about deceit. The point is, when Paul describes in Romans chapter 1 the condition of mankind, it is so fatally flawed and anti-God. And if you and I would ever get a hold of the reality that this is the condition of mankind, but not only just mankind, not just out there, this is the condition I live in. These are the things I celebrate. These are the things I enjoy. These are the things that minister to my flesh. These are the things that I am entertained by. And so he says it this way. He says, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. These are the celebrities. These are the Hollywood stars. These are the ones we look to and want to be like. I mean, here's the people on the TV. This is who I want to be. This is who I want to notice me. This is who I want to be like. I want to emulate. These are the people I celebrate. And when we get a hold of this is the reality of my life, this is the reality of my thoughts, this is where I stand with God. And when he says in verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, it is an incredible revelation when we'll finally make that personal. When it's not all them out there, it's me. I enjoy this. I like this. This is what I get entertained by. And so Paul describes the sinful condition of man. And I got to give you the bad news before I get to the good news. But we got to get through this. And then he says in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. The idea is this, just like we used the thief idea before. It's one thing for me to commit sin, but it's a totally different thing for you to commit sin. It's a different thing. You know, my sin is one thing, but man, when you lie, man, that guy is a liar. Well, you've told some lies, I'd imagine. And you weren't as hard on yourself when you did it as you are on other people when they do it, particularly if they do it to you. It's one thing for you to mess around at the office and flirt and all that kind of stuff. But boy, if your spouse does it, boy, hey, it's one thing for me to act a certain way. And so this is what Paul's saying. Listen, you understand the judgment of God. The judgment of God is not a new revelation to you. It's not something that has to shine out of the sky. You have it in you and you understand it. That's why you criticize other folks. And that's what he's saying. You judge other people, well, you do the same things that you judge them for. You criticize other people, you do the same things you criticize them for. What he's trying to get to is the guilt of man. This is how man is. This is how people are. He says in verse 2, Romans 2:2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's what we think. My sin is not as bad as their sin. Boy, they're under the judgment of God. But, you know, when I do it, I'm not really, you know, I got some reasons. And Paul says, you don't have any reasons. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And a verse we read in Sunday school, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So he says, you continue on this course of forgetting God, of leaving God out, of not wanting to retain God in your knowledge, and you continue down this course committing the same sins, living the same way, and all the while justifying until finally you meet God one day. He says, until the judgment day, and you treasure up wrath. That means if you're treasuring up, some of you guys are investing, and you got 401ks, things like that, you're treasuring up something for a time. You're putting treasure back there for a day. Well, the same way you store up wrath. So God will one day pour out His wrath according to the treasures you have treasured up. You have invested in the wrath of God day in, day out, and judgment will be a day. And I think I've mentioned this before, I'll say it again, but consequences to sin are a little bit different than judgment day. I'll give you an example. If a thief breaks into a house, and that thief gets shot in the arm by the homeowner, that's bad. I mean, he shouldn't have broke in, I suppose. That's a consequence to a bad decision. That's not judgment, though. He hadn't gone to court yet. He hasn't been sentenced yet. He just had a consequence on the way. And so I think sometimes we accept or we look at consequences as the judgment of God, and the consequences are not quite the judgment of God. They're just the responses, the outcome, the fruit of some decisions we've made. The reality is judgment is a day. And so Paul says, you continue on this course of thinking, on this life you're living, where you don't want to retain God in your knowledge, and you treasure up wrath until the day of judgment. There's no purgatory. There's no reincarnation. There's no opportunities after death. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You don't turn into a cow, you don't turn into a dog, you don't turn into anything else. You have one life to live. You live it how you want to live it, and then God judges the life. Now, all of that said, it's putting personal, hopefully putting personal accountability and responsibility and guilt where it needs to be put in your relationship with God. Because so many times we literally, and I find myself saying this more and more, but we literally live in our own world and our own thoughts about God until you read the Bible and you realize what God actually thinks and what God actually does and how God actually lives His life, and how God actually responds to people, and how God actually works. But we live according to the things that make us happy, which is what we do. We ought to learn to have the things that make God happy make us happy. That's another thing. But we just derive our theology and our thoughts about God according to whatever we want to think about God, failing to get revelation from His words here. So if this is the condition of man, God looks down, He sees the condition of man. He sees that man is incurably lost. There's no way for man to resurrect himself out of a grave. There's no way for man to forgive his own sins. There's no way for man to give himself eternal life. He is incurably lost. And now you have the reason for the season. Now you have why God became a man. God would become a man, His name is Jesus Christ, in order to be a substitute for sinful men. The Bible says this, for He hath made Him, Jesus Christ, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ never sinned. If he had sinned, we have no hope. He's just a man. Jesus Christ never sinned, and the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Meaning God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as your sacrifice. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says he died the just for the unjust. The Bible says he once suffered for sins. You know, if Jesus Christ came to this earth to die, if Jesus Christ came to this earth to die, how is it that mankind thinks he can improve on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? I said this one night, it just rings in my mind. When Jesus Christ became a man, lived as a man 33 years, died on a cross, and then resurrected from the grave, and then gave gifts to men, the Bible says. He pours out his Holy Spirit on mankind. There is no way for you and me to improve on what Jesus Christ did by trying to live a good life. You can't do better than he already did. And in fact, you can't even do the good life part. You and I have got to accept we are in the condition of the guilty. And the guilty can't justify himself. The guilty can't make himself unguilty before the judge. The guilty has to pay the fine. But then you have Jesus Christ who steps in and says, I will pay the fine. Not only will I pay that, but I will offer them my eternal life. I will give them an opportunity to be right before God Almighty. I will give them a new body. I will give them the Holy Spirit of God. And I will give them life eternal. You and I can't improve on that. So what God does is this. Becomes a man. And he says, before that court date happens, before that judgment, before that wrath is poured out, I want to give mankind an opportunity to settle this thing. I think I've said it before. I want to give mankind an opportunity to settle this thing out of court. I don't want to see you in court. I don't want this thing to make it to court. God is so against having to judge you by his wrath that he became a man. He died for your sins and he offered you eternal life so that you don't have to appear in court before him in his wrath. You want to know what the reason for the season is? So you have an opportunity to settle out of court with God. So you have an opportunity to not stand before God's wrath and judgment upon your sin. You know, if you were, just hypothetically, and I pray if anyone here has never trusted Jesus Christ, I want you to not leave here without considering trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if you don't trust Jesus Christ, people say, well, I don't believe in a God who would send people to hell. You ever heard that? I don't believe in a God who would be so hateful he would send people to hell. You understand, hell was not created for you. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for you. God didn't even create it to create people to go there. He created hell for the devil and his angels. And whoever decides, I don't want to retain God in my knowledge, I would rather side with the pleasures of the flesh and the devil's side of things, those souls end up in the same place as the devil and his angels. God doesn't create people to throw them into hell. God didn't make hell so that he could throw people into it. It is not would a loving God throw people into hell. A loving God came as a baby to substitute his life and his blood for you. And if you are going to go to hell, you're going to have to bypass the goodness, the graciousness of God, the offerings over and over and over and over to get right with God. And you're going to have to bypass all of that. Say, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I don't want to hear about it. I'm not interested. I got other things going on. Let's not deal with that. That's a religious topic. I don't want to talk about it. All of that stuff. And you're going to have to bulldoze your way into hell. Because God is trying to set obstacles in your way so that he does not have to judge you in his wrath. He is so against judging you. The Bible says, God said in Ezekiel, he said, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I am not out to get people. I am not interested in hurting people. It is my design to come as a man, Jesus Christ, in order to pay for the sins of sinners so that we can make sinners right with God. The reason for the season, so that God could make sinners right with himself. So that sinners would have an opportunity to settle out of court. You say, all right, I want to do that. I've heard what I need to hear. I want to settle. I am not interested in continuing down my life that is anti-God, that has no regard for the things of God. I need my sins forgiven. So how do you accept this? How do you accept the reason for the season? How do you settle out of court? Well, first of all, you stop justifying yourself. And you start justifying God. Stop saying and making excuses about why God's wrong and you're right. And start justifying God and saying, God, you're right. What you said about my life is exactly right. What you've said about my sin is exactly correct. Not that I sin because I have this and this, and this is the exception, and this is the excuse, and this is all this. Stop justifying yourself. Start justifying God now. Start justifying God in his judgment. We say, well, we believe the Bible. I mean, you could probably get a lot of people, maybe even most people, to say they believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, then justify what it says. How do you accept Jesus Christ? How do you accept the reason for the season? He says in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, Paul said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What's God's way? What does he say? Look over here in Romans chapter 10. Well, I tell you what, before we get to Romans chapter 10, do this one. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. The Bible says this. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what that is? That's the reason for the season. The gift of God. The gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, okay, I want Jesus Christ. I want to get saved. I want to trust him. I understand my condition. And I truly hope if you're here and you're not saved, you understand your condition before God. I hope you understand the gravity of the situation, that you are storing up wrath for a day. And unless you settle out of court, you will face God in a judgment. And it won't be to your advantage to do that. Here's what people say. Well, you say, you know where you're going when you die. People say things like, well, you know, I'll just wait till I get there and find out. You don't want to wait till you get there. The only reason you would wait is because you've ignored what he said about getting there. Don't ignore what he said about getting there. Don't wait till you get there. In fact, if you say, I'm going to wait till I get there, what you've said is, I'll accept the consequences of what I've done. Mostly folks say, well, I'll let my good outweigh my bad. No chance of that. No chance of that. Even if you were a good person, and maybe you are, we'll just accept that on your word that you're a good person. We'll just accept that on your word you're an outstanding citizen. You as an outstanding citizen are going to go to a grave. All of your good philanthropy and charitable things and goodwill toward others and things like that, none of those things are going to get you out of a grave. Not one of them. So we can accept that you're a good person. That's, even though the Bible doesn't say that, we'll give it to you. But goodness isn't going to get you out of a grave. Goodness isn't going to give you the Holy Spirit of God. Goodness isn't going to give you eternal life. The only person that holds all those things is Jesus Christ. He's life. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Say, how do I get Jesus Christ in my, how do I implement this? Romans chapter 10. Now we'll go there. You guys, most of you know these verses, I think. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Down to verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what that is? That's the reason for the season. That's the reason for the season. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, he said, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You're not going to trust Jesus Christ until you understand I'm lost. You're not going to need justification before God until you say, you know what, Lord, I'm a sinner. As long as you're justifying your sins, you know what you don't need with God? Justification. You know who needs justification? A sinner. You know who needs eternal life? Someone who's living out of death. You know who needs to be righteous before God? Someone who's unrighteous. And until you accept those conditions and say, Lord, you know what? I'm unrighteous. I'm unholy. I'm headed to a grave. There's nothing I can do to get out of it. There's nothing I can do to change it. I can do good. That's fine. I'll do great, all that stuff. But I can't change the outcome of this. I can't give myself life. I can't make myself right. The only thing I can do is accept your statement of my condition before you. And if you say I'm a sinner, then I am a sinner. And more than that, I already knew I was a sinner before you told me. I mean, you didn't have to tell me. That's what you find out in Romans. People know this stuff before they, you know, you understand it. And you quit justifying yourself and saying, you know what, oh, I do this because of this, and here's my reason for this, and here's my reason for that. You know what, just stop with it. I'm a sinner. I'm unrighteous. I need to be made right with God. And the only person who ever offered to give me peace with God was Jesus Christ. You know what the reason for the season is? So that God could make peace with mankind. Not so he could judge mankind. Not so he could hate mankind. So that he could come as a man, as a substitute for man, live the life that he accepts, and then offer that life and say, all right, if you're a sinner, willing to admit to your sin, and wanting to be just before God, here's how you do it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the reason for the season. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.